as we want to.
Talk about how much I hate Chris because he beat it in less than a day.
We're not going to talk about that.
Sounds reasonable.
Oh, we will. Because we are.
We're
speaking of it.
Hold on. Wait, let me introduce. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of This Game is Broken. Barry, the normal host, is not here. So I'm kind of taking over his responsibilities. My name is Chris Locke, and my co-hosts for today are Kenny Ryu.
Yeah, I think Barry's still puking from that Silva leg break.
God. We can talk about that later, too.
Sure.
That thing was awesome.
That's so awful. And fans of the show will recognize that dulcet tones of Matt.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
So, let's talk about A Link Between Worlds.
Sounds good.
Yes.
First off, let's just start off. Like, that game is baller. That is one of the best games I've played in a long time.
It's the best Zelda in years. Years and years.
I have to agree.
Basically...
I gushed about this a couple weeks ago. Come on. This game's fantastic.
Well, this game,
but you haven't even...
This game is Link to the Past, too. Let's not confuse it with anything other than what it is. Now, the good thing is that Link to the Past was one of the greatest games ever made, so this is just kind of one of these things that Nintendo probably should have done a long-ass time ago.
I don't know. I think it's a good thing that they waited. Till now to do it, because, you know, people have been saying, I'm not so sure about Zelda anymore, and then, we need new IPs, and it's like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess, but then they come out with this Zelda game, and, I mean, I'm just kind of taken aback, because I haven't played many of the recent ones. I mean, I didn't play Skyward Sword.
Right.
It's okay.
And didn't really play any of the other DS ones.
Right.
So... But, okay, so here's the thing. I never played A Link to the Past. Oh, but
Me neither.
But I played Link's Awakening on the Game Boy.
Sure.
And it shares... I mean, I don't know, because I never played, A Link to the Past. So I don't know how much Link's Awakening and A Link to the Past share with each other. But this game, Link Between Worlds, shares a ton with... Link's Awakening.
Sure.
And yes, just like those stupid Mai's or whatever, the stupid shells you have to collect. Running shoes. Well, they were in... Sorry, I keep on getting all these names mixed up. Because Link's this, Link's that, Link's the...
They were in Link's Awakening. Right?
Yes. And you had to find them in specific spots, like there'd be special places you could dig, or you'd find them in chests here or there. And then near the end of the game, you could take them all to this one spot, and if you took them all there at the same time, they would give you a special sword that would shoot lasers out every time you, swung it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Only if you're at full health, though, right?
Yes, only if you're at full health, of course.
Mm-hmm.
that they're not going to break Zelda tradition.
No.
And that's the one thing about this game.
The tradition's that good.
The story in this game is, as far as I found, is kind of throwaway. It's Zelda. It's the same story. You know what's going on. Basically, there's a couple of little variations on it, but all the gameplay surrounding it. Yeah, basically, go save the princess, seven stages, three pieces of the Triforce, Master Sword.
Fight Ganon.
Fight Ganon, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine, though.
It's the gameplay, I think, that really is just amazing here. There's so many times in some of these dungeons where I just went, holy crap, I didn't even know I could do that. I hadn't even thought about that as an option.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just did it. For example, when you make a wall that you didn't know you could make with a special object, and then you stick yourself to that wall and fling around to the other side, oh god,
yeah,
this game is amazing.
Sure, and definitely opens up for some certainly for a lot more hidden treasures and stuff. Now, I haven't gotten that far into that part of the game yet, but one thing that really struck me was that, you can, there's no wallet limit anymore. You can just go up to 999 or whatever it is.
Yes,
and
I really
just
like
keep getting that money.
Like, it's one of those things that where they could, It felt that, like, all right, let's make this very traditional Zelda playing. Let's cut out all the BS, all the nonsense over, you know, making it difficult just for the sake of making it difficult, and saying, all right, you know what? You don't have to find these items. You can just totally rent these things and use them how you want. You know, if you die, you got to come back and get them. But other than that, that's really there seems to be very few barriers to entry in this game.
And you got to come back to rent them again and pay more money that way.
Yeah.
Which I was saying this a couple episodes ago. This game puts much more emphasis on the rupees.
Yes.
Because now you actually have to. You have to balance yourself when you're going into a dungeon. You don't want to rent everything out and then die and have no money left.
Right.
And then be stuck with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long time before you can go back to that dungeon.
Sure.
On the flip side,
it
does
seem... have what you need.
It does seem like they give you a whole lot more money, though.
They do.
There's rupees, and there's always been rupees and grass and stuff, but you're getting, you know, you're not just stuck with little green rupees all the time anymore.
It does seem like they were a little more liberal with that sort of stuff, so it's that's what I like.
There's been times where I'll try to find money, and all I'll keep getting is hearts or stupid little, like, monster guts or horns.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what these monster guts do, but they're gross, and I don't want them in my pocket.
You can make them into potions eventually. That's maybe a small spoiler. Yeah, it's not. I actually, when I was playing through it, I just rented everything, and I only died twice in the whole game, so it never really bothered me.
Right.
Well,
about money.
Aren't you just the expert?
Oh yes, I'm just a master video gamer.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
I mean,
you are, because I've been dying a lot.
Really?
Yes, really. And the only thing I've bought is the hookshot, because, I don't know, that thing's cool looking.
The hookshot is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. They totally broke the traditional Zelda, you know, go to this dungeon, then you do this dungeon, then you do this one, and just said, okay, just go do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, here's all the it's items. Like the first Zelda game.
Yes.
Or NES, yeah. Where it was like, yeah, just have fun. Do whatever you want. Have fun. See how it goes.
Yeah.
But wasn't there even some sort of progression in that one where you had to have certain items, like you had to
after
go to
a certain
dungeon?
Point.
Yeah.
After
and
a
this
certain
one...
point, but you could tackle like any dungeon in the beginning of that game.
Yeah.
And
there's only like
you'll die and be overpowered, but you can do it.
You could try.
Yeah. Good luck.
But there's no specific. There's a couple items that you have to wait to do other dungeons with, but that gets thrown out the window about 2 or 3 hours in.
Okay, good. Because I'm looking for that sand thing, and I can't find it.
Yeah. I think you can go rent it. I don't know. There might be a certain dungeon you have to do rescue somebody first or something like that, and then you can rent it. But that's the only item that isn't, rentable immediately.
But I am loving this game.
That's for sure.
It's just so good, and it's I don't know, I love it.
Well, it looks
it's fantastic.
It looks good, and it plays good, and like the music's all just it's very nostalgic, while still having a modern feel to it. So I mean, for me, I didn't actually play Link to the Past until not too long ago, because Shuri, she ordered it for me there, but the about almost a year ago, and she's a really big fan of it and stuff like that. So just playing through it, and that original Super Nintendo game still holds up. So to see a modern redo of that done in the way that it is very refreshing.
It really is. What do you guys think about the whole mechanic of sticking yourself to walls? Because I thought it would get really old really fast,
right?
But it actually It's weird that they kind of modeled their whole game around that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess since, you know, they've got the tropes of Zelda in there already, and they got the arrow, the bombs, the hookshot, all that stuff. So then adding this other mechanic on top of that just kind of, it spins all of those around. It gives new depth to hookshot, new depth to the bombs, new depth to everything.
Questions
gives you a whole new way to go after a dungeon, pretty much.
That's for sure.
Question about the ability.
Throw these different puzzles with you. Yes.
Go ahead.
Question about the ability there. When you stick to a wall, do you only just go left to right? Can you climb up and down?
You can only go left to right.
Oh, okay.
Left to right.
Yeah. All right. Just want to kind of, because I haven't been to that part yet, so I haven't. I can't comment on how it plays or doesn't play. Although seeing gameplay videos, it looks pretty cool.
That's super man, early though.
Spoilers right now. Why haven't you been yelling at us?
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah, it's not really the only spoilers in this game are spoiling puzzles.
Yeah, the fact that you can go into walls isn't really a spoiler because it's on the front of the case.
No.
Yeah.
They advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of right there. Hey, look, you're going to be a painting.
That's right.
I mean, I'm sure if you gave this game to an Amish person, you're like, you can go into walls, they'd be like, first off, what's this thing in my hand? And second of all, spoilers.
Bro. Flip their hat backwards. What are you talking about spoilers for? Turn their beard upside down.
Sure thing, Amish.
That's right.
Okay, so we've been playing that, and we can gush and gush and gush sure. over that. But what has everybody else been playing? In fact, Kenny, what have you been playing?
The game of waking up every morning at 11 o'clock my time and seeing what Steam games are on sale. That's the best game I can think of. it's So let's start off with one that I finished off very quickly as I was gone home.
I really need to play that.
It's what's great about it is the setting. Anyone who is of our age and anyone who kind of grew up in the 90s will get a lot of references with placements and like, I don't want to talk too much about it. It kind of barely qualifies as a game for me, but it's very engaging, and I think you'll definitely dig it.
The story's fantastic.
It's really the narrative is told very well, and it's I don't think it's really a spoiler, but this is told to you through basically diary entries from your sister.
Okay, cool.
And yeah. It's really good. The game is a little bit misleading in what is actually taking place. But it's just a game of discovery, and it's very well presented.
Yeah, I mean, for people that don't know what it is, who are you, first off? Secondly, the whole point is you've gone home and there's no one there.
That's right.
And you just you're trying to figure out, this is set in the 90s, so no cell phones, you can't call anybody, the phones are out, so what do you do?
Right.
You know, it's very nostalgic of back in that time, like if you went home and there was nobody there, you know, what are you doing? Everyone's gone.
But
well, I guess they're gone.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, well, just, they'll come home eventually.
Hopefully. Yeah. Let's hope.
I'll sit here and play some Sega until everyone comes home. Yay.
Well, what's great is that there's this one diary entry that you find, and it's like this, your sister writes about how she went and visited this one friend only because they had all the good Nintendo games.
Yes.
And every single...
Specifically mentioning Street Fighter.
That's right. And they got like they got a Street Fighter move list and stuff. Just scribble on some paper and you look back.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's almost as if you went took a digital trip back in time. It's really, really neat in that regard.
It's definitely a neat setting and stuff.
I'm hoping my PC can run it. That would be delightful.
My PC's not that great and actually ran all right. I had to turn down the frame rate a little bit, which I thought was a little strange, considering nothing really goes on. But
yeah,
okay.
But
it's not very technical, but still, it seems to require a little bit of beef to run.
Yeah. So I mean, if
I'll give it a shot.
My laptop is like 4 years old, so if you got anything close to that, you'll be good.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I don't have a graphics card, and I was able to run it.
Right.
Okay. Not great, but it ran.
But it ran. Okay.
That's one of the things, though, that I didn't... It's kind of silly. If I were to go back home during all this stuff, I would just sit down and play, like, Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
And wait for everybody to come home. There was no option for that. And I'm kind of disappointed.
Mm-hmm. So, but if when you do get a chance, Matt, play Gone Home, I think you'll dig it a lot.
I definitely plan on it.
I've also been playing Papers, Please.
Wait, Kenny, I want to stop you.
Oh.
Because I do want to talk about Gone Home a little bit. We'll
avoid
spoilers. But actually, everybody... we're avoiding spoilers.
Right.
Everybody is so, smitten with this game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's winning Game of the Year awards, and people are really liking it. I just didn't like it that much.
Sure.
And I think part of the problem is that...
it's not
Pokemon. Of course. First off, the first problem is not Pokemon. Second problem, it's not the other Pokemon game. Third problem is... I am a few years younger than you guys, so I kind of missed a little bit of the stuff of the 90s and that sort of. I was alive, but I wasn't really remembering things.
Right.
And so a lot of the nostalgia just hit me not at all.
Flew by.
Just flew right by. It doesn't matter.
Went over your head.
Not necessarily over my head. I got the references. I just didn't have an emotional attachment to them.
It's funny. Okay. I was actually just thinking of that as we were talking because... You know, I understand that there's going to be a whole segment of people who play this game and don't get what this means.
Get it at all.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things where you think, this is a cute little story, I guess, but that's about it.
Exactly.
But this is definitely something that is a generational... I don't want to say geared, because I don't think that was necessarily the intention, but it was... Definitely a game that spoke to... It's only going to speak to a certain age group. And everyone else might be like, I don't understand what the hell's going on.
I don't get it.
It targets a specific time, and it does that very, very well.
That's right.
But beyond that, it just doesn't really seem... It seems kind of like a one-trick pony to me. It's got an okay story, like you said. Like, the story is... It's fine.
Yep.
You know, I wasn't exactly blown away. To me, it seemed... You know, like any sort of short story that I've ever read before.
It is. Right.
It is what it is. Yeah, it's fine. But, you know, it did do some storytelling well through other means as well, not just the diary, but through finding things in the house. And it did that pretty well, but it still was just kind of like, I really think that without the nostalgia for the 90s, a lot of that stuff just does not work. And... is not as great as people think.
Sure.
Especially all that terrible, terrible music. It was all awful. I hated it. Every single time I plugged in a tape set, I just ripped it out immediately. It was awful.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't all terrible. Yeah, 90s had some decent music.
What it is that...
in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all punk rock.
Yeah, except it's by this amateur band, which you'll learn about in the game, and it does sound pretty bad. It's very grungy. You come across magazines with Kurt Cobain on the cover and stuff like that. So it's one of those things that it plays very raw music. It doesn't sound great, but it's more to evoke of a particular time of what music was like for that period of time. So
it certainly grabs that one moment in time very well.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it was good.
Yeah. That wasn't exactly the highest point of human, you know, art.
I mean, everyone thinks I'm insane, but I always say, listen, the only reason why Kurt Cobain is so revered is because he died a rock star death. No one... people would be like, oh, well, imagine all the music he could have created. Well, yeah, but he also could have been, you know, busted with a kid in a bathroom stall at a Denny's somewhere.
He could have been.
All things being equal, there's a whole bunch of stuff that could have happened that would have totally tarnished his reputation. So,
what's that saying? You either die a hero or you live long enough to become the enemy?
Become the villain.
Villain.
Yeah. That's
from that
from your favorite Batman series, from your favorite Batman ever, isn't that right, Matt?
Yes, my favorite ever. I love Christopher Nolan. He's a visionary director, and
yes,
he makes nothing but greatness.
Hey, listen, I'm not interested in dudes, but I would marry Christopher Nolan in a heartbeat. I'd be like, I'm out of here.
I would not.
Yeah, I could sense a little bit of sarcasm there.
Yeah.
Oh, none at all. None at all. No, he's great. Oh. He's so good.
Have you ever talked about your hate with the Batman movies on
it's just gonna come out of a muddle of expletives, and I can't right now. Needless to say, I don't think they're that great.
Fair enough. They got their problems.
Batman Begins was fun.
Yep.
Dark Knight is not a Batman movie. It's a gangster movie.
With Batman.
And
it's still a good movie.
With a boring Batman who's the least interesting character, yes. And okay, Dark Knight Rises. And Dark Knight Rises is a hot mess. That's all there is to that one.
Yeah. It's not a very good movie. It's a pretty bad movie.
It's so not good.
Mm. Yeah,
yes, but I gave it to you! Oh, with your stupid voice. Be quiet. I mean, I love Bane's voice because it's so stupid, but please, just come on. Come on.
Well, okay, back to the second movie, though. Isn't that, like, the premise of all Batman, of just Batman in general, is that Batman's not all that interesting, but all of his enemies are?
He is in the comics.
Yep.
But would he be that interesting without his enemies?
Well, no. But still.
Yeah, exactly. I think Batman himself.
Oh, and the Batman voice. It's terrible in all three movies, so don't even get me started.
Yeah. I fully agree with you there.
I never realized that Tom Waits was such a good Batman.
So, all right. So, as a Batman, I love Batman. I admittedly haven't read too many of the comics and stuff like that, but I do like Batman as a character and stuff. Ben Affleck, I think he'll actually do very well, depending on who he's paired with as far as director goes. But
he's not the problem.
No,
the problem is the director.
who's directing it?
Zack Snyder.
Ooh, shite.
Exactly. The guy who did Man of Steel.
I didn't like Man of Steel.
So it was enjoyable, but for the most part, I think Zack Snyder's made one good movie, and other than that, it's been a whole bunch of hot trash.
You're talking about The Watchmen, right?
Yes, The Watchmen.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
I really like The Watchmen.
I really all like The Watchmen.
And other than that, it's like, meh, you're, meh, yeah, whatever.
No.
So yeah. Ben Affleck won't be the problem. I mean, it will be Zack Snyder.
Yeah, that's on see where he takes that franchise. So,
you know what? Maybe it'll be good.
I think it will.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
At least there's that. But at least there's a chance. Yeah. Let's all hold out hope.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it's like a Poltergeist situation where it's actually Ben Affleck directing and just Zack Snyder's name is on it.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Okay.
That'll be fine. That'll be totally fine.
I'll tell you where there is no hope. In the world of papers, please.
What a segue.
From what I've heard, there is no hope. Nice segue.
Yeah.
There is no hope.
No, it's pretty dark, but...
So, Kenny, I reviewed this game and played all way more hours, I think, than you have. But sure. I'm interested to know your experience at it. From a non-review standpoint, like, what did you get out of it?
It made me realize that this is sort of something I've known for a while, but I can't observe too many things at once. There's always something I miss. But, you know, count my citations that I got from the Department of Labor or whatever it was.
Is there any worse feeling than when you get the third citation?
It's like, oh, well, there goes food for a day. Great.
Yep. My son is going to be hungry now.
Yep.
What's Papers, Please?
Okay, so Papers, Please.
I have no clue.
Oh, it's terrific. Hey, wait.
It's terrible.
Are you on Steam there, Matt?
Kinda, yeah. I have one, but my computer's a piece of poop.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Well, it doesn't require anything to play this game.
It's very
graphics it could be.
Because I mean, I literally know nothing about this game other than I've seen it on a couple like year-end lists. That's about it.
Right. Okay. So what Papers, Please is that you are a man who's living in this fictional Soviet Eastern Bloc country called Astroika, I think it's called.
Aristroka.
Aristroka. Glory to Aristroka. And you basically win a lottery ticket in the sense of you were given a government position at a checkpoint at this country, Aristroka. And what you do is you basically check people's passports and you either give them entry into the country or you deny them.
Papers, please.
That's correct.
Exactly.
And it's very, very crudely, you know, graphically and stuff like that. Mm. But what makes it interesting is that you got these procedurally generated characters that will come up and they'll give you a passport and you got to look through it and look through your rule book and make sure that their papers are up to snuff. And what they do is as you go along, they pile more and more rules on you. They'll change certain rules to meet certain conditions. And you have to keep track of all this stuff. Otherwise, you're going to get warnings. You're going to get fined. But in the middle of all this, there's a civil war that just finished. So there's still a lot of political unrest. And on top of that, you have a family to feed and to keep warm who can die on you if you can't do your job properly. And you have, and you're on the clock and you have to process these people through your checkpoint as many as you can. The more you process, the more money you make, but also the more likely you are to make mistakes and therefore get penalized.
So yeah, it's so Oregon average Trail, but with paperwork.
Sure.
Sort of, right? Yeah.
Sure.
An average day in Papers, Please is you start off, someone gives you your papers, you're like, okay, I got to go through this as quick as possible. You send them through, you get basically 5 credits for everybody that you send through. Well, at the end of the day, 15 credits is going to pay for heat. Another 15 credits is going to pay for food. Another 5 credits is going to pay for, you know, medicine because your uncle's sick or something like that.
Yeah.
You've got 20 credits is going to pay rent, and you have to always pay rent. You can't not pay rent.
Yeah.
But you can make choices to not pay for heat for that day, so everybody's cold.
Yep.
Or not buy food.
Also, on top of that, as you earn credits, you also get a chance to purchase upgrades to your booth, so you can do your job faster. But it's very much a check and balances kind of system where you gotta, you know, it's all about trade offs. Make one thing a little bit better by making something a lot worse or a little bit worse.
So I can't remember, Kenny, all the upgrades, but what I do remember is that they seem to make little to no difference.
With all the upgrades, you also got more rules that you have to head up, and and there's also more things that you have to watch out for.
What?
It's
boo.
Yeah, it's very deceiving in the way that you think, oh, okay, all I gotta do is just press this button for my approve and disapprove prints to come out. But then they're like, well, no, now you gotta check if, you know, this person is actually who they say they are gender-wise. Or you gotta check and make sure they're not on some sort of criminal list. Do they have any contraband on them or anything like that? It's basically a fighting against the tide kind of thing, which I think works really well with the universe that Papers, Please is set in.
And it's fighting against yourself as well, because there's times where you have to do things where you go, this isn't right.
Right.
I know this isn't right, but these are the rules.
Right. And then there's times where, you know, you'll have like maybe a random terrorist attack and you got to drag that stupid key to your locker box, take out your gun and take them down before they do any damage. And part of the problem is that every time that happens, your day is cut short, so that's money you lose because of somebody else who decided to screw around on your watch.
You know, a normal day when you would
have
brought home.
This does not sound fun.
It's not fun, but that's the reason why it's great.
Okay, so it's like Silent Hill 2. It's not fun, but you play it.
Sure, or like Amnesia. You know, like a game that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
It's supposed to be tedious. It's supposed to be just awful and a slog. But through that,
it's supposed to be bad.
It's supposed to be bad. But through that, they develop a very interesting story. The basic mechanics that you have are approve, deny. There's a couple variations on that and things that you can do beyond that. But mostly that's it. And it's amazing that and I was talking with Kenny before we started recording, it's, you know, it's not amazing that they made a game out of bureaucracy. That seems easy. The rules are all there. You could make a game out of pretty much anything. And again, the rules are there already. What is amazing is that they've created a story through this entire thing.
Yeah.
That you interact with by just having basically binary decisions, approve or deny. But everything is so contextual. You know, somebody comes up to your window and they're wearing a mask. And, you know, I'm not spoiling really anything here, but he gives you a secret letter and you're like, okay, I don't know what to do with this. It gives you a name. Do you let that person through? Do you not let that person through? You know, that person comes through and you see that they've got false identity here, but you're like, you know, this person is part of the resistance potentially. Do you help the resistance? Do you not help the resistance?
No.
I'm going to keep my job.
Yeah, and you fail too many times, you're going to jail for life. And if your family is gone, or if you're caught of any wrongdoing, you get executed, and there's like 20 different endings. I read some of there's like 5 or 6 that are severely different, and others, and the rest are just kind of variations on one of those 5 themes. But
there's a lot of variations on you going to jail or getting shot.
Yeah, but
okay,
but it's
like in real life.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Like my job right now. Okay.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'm sure you get audited for wrongdoings with criminal organizations all the time.
Quite frequently, in fact.
As a waiter, you have to deal with that. Yeah.
Well, you have to decide. Do you serve them their drinks or do you not serve them their drinks?
I have to.
Now, see, that's your choice. It may be right. It may be wrong.
I'm obligated.
I think that's.
But they don't have to show me their papers.
Oh, okay. Good.
Well, except for their ID. If they're.
Oh, we don't have alcohol.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess not, eh?
No.
I'm just.
Yeah, then it would be a choice. You know, they'd give you your papers and you'd say, well, I'm sorry, you're not 21. But turns out they're the president's son. So what do? And we have the next movie, blockbuster.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, we're gonna make so much money off of this.
I estimate we'll make tens of dollars.
Yes, so, literally tens of dollars.
Back to my original question, Kenny. Is there anything worse than that third citation?
Getting a fourth and fifth one. I mean, it's.
But at that point, you're like, son of a, fine.
Yeah, screw it.
Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, I mean, the first one you're thinking, okay, that's no big deal. That's a throwaway. Second citation you get, it's like, oh, okay, now I got to watch it. And then you think like, okay, I just got to get this one passport and then I'm done. And then you kind of rush through it, make a mistake. And then it's like, you hear the printing of your third citation and you're like, no.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
That's right.
You don't get, like, the basics behind that is that you don't get paid if you do it wrong.
That's right.
So they give you one citation. No payment. All right, fine. Second citation. No payment on that one. Fine. Third citation. Now they just charged you 5 credits.
Yeah. So on top of losing 5 credits for not doing it right, you got another 5s that you lose for not getting paid. So it's
And it just gets worse. Like, they'll take 10, 15, 20 credits.
Yep, and then by the end of it, you realize, oh wait, I have no money for food, heat, and medicine, and oh god,
I'm homeless now. Oh boy, yeah.
Homeless, lost my entire family. Couldn't I believe they do take you to jail for not being able to pay your rent?
I haven't encountered that ending yet, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I think I did that once just to see what would happen, and yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure, you go to jail for not being able to pay your bills.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, they put you in...
Well, it's a debtor's prison.
Yeah, pretty much.
They used to have.
It's...
Or do they still have that? I don't know.
I don't know.
It'd be kind of silly, right?
It
might still have that.
Oh, and probably certain countries that have, like, you know, government-controlled housing and stuff. Yeah, they probably... got something on, you know, in the works.
Certainly got it in at its stalker.
So hey, listeners, if any of our listeners do live in a country or an area that has a debtor's prison, let us know.
Or if any of our listeners are in a debtor's prison.
Or if you work in a debtor's prison, you know, just go ahead. It's just go ahead.
Or if you own
a
debtor's prison.
Have a time machine so we can go to a debtor's prison.
Yeah.
Any of these would work. Let us know, folks.
You know what? If you're a debtor's prison that has gained sentience, send us a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let us know.
Send us a letter because you clearly don't have email where you're at.
No, they don't. Because they still have debtor's prisons.
So anyway, you've enjoyed, and listeners can't see the quotation marks I'm putting around in the word enjoyed papers, please.
It's a very, how should I put this? It's a very dark game that makes me feel uncomfortable, but it's something I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes to some amazing places for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, doing the review, I was kind of, like, pushing through it sometimes because I'm like, oh, God, I do not want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly...
I don't want to play.
It's something that shouldn't necessarily occur to someone that say, oh, well, this could actually totally be a playable game and something that you enjoy, but it totally works on everything it does. I mean, I encountered some glitches where, like, my key wouldn't fit in the lock properly for whatever reason, and then as a result I lost a bunch of money. But other than that, with a few minor technical hiccups, it actually played really well, and some of the recurring characters that come by time and time again who keep on trying more and more desperately to get into the border there, but you got to keep an eye on because they're like, you're like, clearly their passport is just scribbled in with some sort of felt marker.
Aristoka is best country. Yeah. No passport is required.
It's like, oh yes.
No, not at all. Not at all. Just walk right in. Come on.
That's right. It's a great little game, and everyone should give a look.
For sure. Have you been playing anything else?
Okay, I will.
Myself? Oh gosh.
You've been hitting that Steam sale hard.
I got Papers, Please. Gone Home. I got FTL. I haven't tried that yet.
God, it's a good game.
Gunpoint. I just played it. It's fantastic. I've started Brothers, and that's a game that I've heard a lot of rave reviews about. I've got a feeling that it's going to let me down at some point because of all the hype I've been hearing about it. Might not quite match it, but we'll see. The Stanley Parable. I play that. That game is really
good.
How
is that?
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot like Gone Home, where it's not really a game, but it does have a lot of good commentary on common games. Game design in general, and it's really good. You'll dig it.
Yeah, I played the demo of that. It was actually really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It
was hilarious, actually.
it's very funny. Very well written, very sharp, very witty. And it's got the most insane achievements. You know, for example, there's one where you got to click on a door 435 times, and the guy will comment on it, or there's one that's called an achievement, and you got to go deep into the program files and enable the achievement part, and then when you fire up the game, the achievement thing just pops right up, and you got one.
That's awesome.
There's one that's...
I wish I could do that with all my games.
There's one that's called... that basically, you don't play the Stanley Parable for 5 years. or play it for the entire duration of a Tuesday.
All right, yeah, I gotta get this.
It's really good.
It might be time to upgrade my PC.
Yeah, it might be. But the one thing that I've really kind of taken away from all the games I've been playing is that I have played more indie titles and I have purchased more PC-centric games over this Christmas break than I have, I think, in a very long time. And I think it's starting to kind of show the sort of shift that games are making, where more smaller team developed games offer more compelling experiences. Mm-hmm. And I'm just loving every minute of it. And, you know, thanks to Steam and good old games and the like, they can offer these things at a very decent price.
Yeah.
I think the only three games, I think there's only been three games that have been gigantic titles that I even played this year. And that was like Tomb Raider, Last of Us, and BioShock. Much beyond that, like what really was there this year.
Yep.
It's the big three. And Tomb Raider is even not all that. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did play Saints Row, but I don't know. It wasn't. Okay, so I guess clarification. Games that I really, really enjoyed that were big games.
Right.
Okay.
You know, some of the other games were fine, and, you know, I played the crap out of Pokemon, but that's not a gigantic game. That's not your AAA big, humongous budget title. I'm sure it's got a big budget.
Sure.
But, you know, nothing like The Last of Us or BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
Even GTA was, you know, I played it. It's like one of the best-selling games out there. And
yeah.
Not really all that great. But okay, fine.
You play it and it's like, oh, yeah, this is that kind of game, so that's enough.
Yeah. Oh, this is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. How about that? But playing something like, what was it? Guacamelee. Absolutely fantastic title. Something I dug the crap out of. Really, really enjoyed it. And it's
that studio really knows what they're doing. They are awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Guacamelee is one heck of a game. And then Gone Home, everybody loves. Smaller title. I'm trying to think of some others that came out this year that we might have all played. Papers, Please. I think, if I remember correctly, Papers, Please is just by, like, one guy.
Yes.
I think it's just by Lucas Pope.
Yeah, I actually tweeted him just the other night and just fired him off and said, yeah, thanks for making a really good game because I can't stop playing it.
I mean, that's a game that no AAA budget is going to go there. No game is going to make you not want to play it.
Yeah.
That goes against everything that games are supposed to be. But it does it well, and it creates a very good atmosphere and a very good place.
Sure. One other thing I did grab from the Steam sale that's not a game, but it was on Steam and it was $17, was RPG Maker VX Ace. So I'm going to try messing around
with make an RPG?
Mess around with some game creation tools and see how I do. I played it for about 9 minutes. And I'm just like, I have no idea what's going on, so I'll just go ahead and shut this down and look up some sort of walkthrough or guide on how to use the tools.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking to get into game development too, like, that's such a easy thing nowadays.
Sure. And I mean, a lot of the tools are, some of them are either go for like ridiculously expensive or some of them are actually reasonably priced. So, I mean, if I did want to make a game, great, but, I'll toy around with it. And if I start getting the hang of it, I might pursue it further. But for the time being, it's just a curiosity project.
You can do something like, PlayStation Mobile, which will go on like the Vita, and I believe it'll go on the PS4 and PS3, totally free to develop for. You can get the dev kit and everything free.
Oh, okay. Oh, I might look into that then.
I don't think it's quite as easy as some of the other things. You will have to learn code.
Right.
But you can do that for free nowadays. The government has a program, code.org. Like,
is that right?
Where they teach you how to code.
Okay. I know there's that a Code Academy that also teach you how to do certain basic codes and stuff like that. So, but
you can start off small, and you don't actually have to go to a school anymore to learn something like that. You can do it all on your own.
That's true. Okay, I'm on the website right now. I'll take a look.
It's pretty awesome. Okay, so that was a weird, tangent into weirdness.
Yep.
Woo!
Matt, what have you been playing?
Well, as we discussed, I've been playing the Zeldas.
Let's just talk about Zelda for a little bit longer, can we?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No,
never mind.
We're encroaching on spoiler territory, so no, I'm good. I've actually been playing a lot of Runner 2. Have you heard of this one?
Sure.
Yes.
All right, I've bought this game 3 times this year. Cuz I'm a terrible person.
All right.
No, I actually, first I bought it on my Wii U when it first came out. I played it for like a month. A couple months later, I bought it randomly on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's come out for the Vita, and I've gotten farther in this version than I have on any other version.
Right.
Vita seems like the version to play.
Oh, it is. It's just such a weird, trippy, Saturday morning cartoon of a video game.
Right.
But, like, yeah. The cartoons that I grew up watching. And they got the guy who does the voice of Mario, Charles Martinet, he's the narrator. And they get him to just say the most ridiculous things that are, like, sponsoring the game, like pickled turtle eggs from some old man, like, that's your breakfast, enjoy. Like,
nice.
It is one of the weirdest games I've ever played, but it's an awesome music rhythm game mixed with an endless runner, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
No, it does. It's, you're just trying to listen to the beat to continue running in a better fashion.
Kind of. Music tracks start out like they're pretty basic,
mm-hmm.
but as you're running and dodging and jumping over things and kicking things down, another beat to the song will play. And it'll, by the end of the level, it'll just turn into this crazy symphony of like kick, punch, down, you know, all these different things that you're just doing in the game. And I don't know, it's one of those games where I'm actually chasing my high scores, and it's one of my games that I've, best games I've played this year.
It's you don't hear that too often about chasing a high score anymore.
You don't do that much.
To hear that is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really great. I think if you have PlayStation Plus, it's something like maybe $7.
Right.
But it's well worth more than that.
It's
a great, great freaking game.
It's $2.54 on Steam. I'm getting it right now.
You should get that right now on Steam.
I'm getting it.
You should get that right now.
I'm getting it right now.
Yeah.
Okay, get it right now.
I'm getting it right now.
Woo!
My wife actually really loves that game. Which is kind of weird. Like, yeah, she doesn't... She cares for several games. Like, she really loves Skyrim. And she plays GTA. But it's very rare to get her to enjoy some of these smaller games. But she picked up Bit Trip Runner 2 just out of the blue and has played the crap out of it. She will not stop on a level until she gets it perfect.
Nice.
Oh, me too. Me too. I'll actually... There'll be parts of the game where I'll miss a piece of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, okay, time to die. Go back to the checkpoint. We gotta do this again.
Yep.
There are so many intentional deaths with me in this game. It's insane.
There's a lot of secrets in that game, too. Like,
yes.
It goes back to, like, retro Bit Trip, if you can find these little weird blocks.
You find the cartridges. Style.
That's really neat.
It's kind of really stupid,
but it's really neat.
It's so good. And then you find there's one level, there's a Sasquatch in the background, and he's a never nude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
They never want to be nude.
There are literally, there are dozens of them on Earth.
Never nudes.
No.
No one here watches Arrested Development, really.
No,
I've played The Sims, and there's a class of person on there called Never Nude, which he'll never be nude. They take showers in their boxers and stuff like that.
Yes. Okay. Basically, that's a never nude. Yeah.
Okay.
That reference went over everyone's head. Never mind.
I gotta be honest, buddy. I haven't watched TV in like 3 years, so it's not something I do regularly. Then the only justification for that is A, I work quite a bit, and B, it gets in front of my game time. So.
And the show got canceled 10 years ago. It is known.
Was it that long ago?
I think so.
I know it started about 10 years ago.
It started in 2003.
Right.
It lasted about maybe two years.
Aren't they making an Arrested Development movie?
They're doing another season on Netflix, and then they're doing a movie, I think.
Okay, right on.
Didn't they already do that other season on Netflix?
I know, but they're doing another one.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I know nothing about it. Sorry. But back to Bit Trip Runner, which I do know something about.
Okay.
I know something about that game, and that is fun.
It's lots of fun. It's lots and lots of fun. I don't know, it's just such a great, like I said, it's a Saturday morning cartoon of a video game.
Sure.
It definitely brings back those feelings of, you know, like original Mario and stuff like that, too. Where it's very just simple, but very challenging at the same time, and just fun to keep going.
Where you want to keep going.
Well, you kind of have to. It is an unlimited runner.
But I mean, like, there's been points where I'm like, okay, it's 3 in the morning, time to go to bed, and I'm like, one more level. Let's do one more.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's 5 in the morning. Okay, that's awesome.
Sure.
I'll only play till 6.
Loser. Yeah. This is fun.
But yeah, now I have to go to work.
Yeah. But no, it really is a fantastic game, and that team over there, the guys who made it, Gaijin Games, it is out of this world good. Bravo.
So you have played it on 3 platforms at this point.
Yes.
Definitely, like, I would think that the Vita is the place that I would really want to play it. Is that the way to go?
I would say yes. Yeah. You want to play it on a handheld.
Why is that?
It was great. It's just because you can get, like, you can have that Vita, like, right in your face. Right in your face. You can see all those crazy colors right in your face. But, I mean, you can do that with the Wii U version, too. And if you sit really close to your television, you can do it with the PS3, so...
Sure.
it all depends on the level of blindness you want.
Well, I mean, I got my 46-inch TV there, and all I do is just hook my laptop up to it and use it as my monitor in big picture mode. And so I'm definitely going to blind myself with some Runner 2 later on.
Yeah, go sit 3 inches in front of your screen and play it.
3 inches? Oh, okay.
You'll thank me later.
Okay, perfect.
You'll hate him later.
Yeah, pretty much.
When you're playing that, the best thing to do is just kind of do your best to go with the rhythm, too, because it'll make it a whole lot easier. If you're just kind of looking at the screen and stuff, it's not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going with what you think you should be doing, just give in to the beat.
Right. Well, I did play the first Bit Trip Runner game, and I don't know how much, if this shares all the similarities there, or if there's any... Mechanical.
A lot better?
Okay.
It's a lot better. They've added checkpoints in the middle of each stage.
Oh, thank God.
So it's not like oppressively hard like the first one was.
Sure.
But
of course,
you can skip
the checkpoints.
You can skip the checkpoints and you get extra points, which is always nice.
Right.
Yeah. Just jump over them. And then a Pickle Man chases you.
Yes, he does. Pickle Man will chase you.
Pickle Man chases you.
He's not exactly happy about you skipping the checkpoint. He's like, hey, come back.
Another level, the Cheeseburger Man will chase you. I'm not even kidding. It's amazing.
So stupid.
Pickle Man and Cheeseburger Man and a guy who's like a half-reversed mermaid. Like, it's really weird.
Great.
Yeah, he's a reverse merman. He's got like his top half is a goldfish and his bottom half legs.
It's gross.
It's fantastic.
One other game that I've been playing, and it's not really a game, but it's this thing that I have come to realize. I've been kind of getting in a little deep with the trading cards on Steam. And I'm at this point where I will pay 19 cents for a card, but I find a card being sold for 21 cents. Totally outrageous.
That is ridiculous.
That is an outrageous price.
And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay, this is what my life has become now. This is great.
It's like you're a kid again, collecting trading cards.
Yeah.
You, Kenny, are the one that has been funding my gaming habits on Steam recently.
That's correct.
I haven't put any money into Steam, but I just bought a game with the profits I made off of Steam trading cards.
Sure. I haven't sold
any. Entirely.
I have not sold my cards yet. I'm just crafting badges now at this point.
What does that? What do those get you?
You get a background.
Oh.
And an emoticon.
Wow.
So yeah, it's all right.
Kenny.
You sound rad.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. You're definitely the coolest kid in school right now.
It's
freaking bodacious.
Oh, I'm such a piece of garbage. let's see here. Okay, hold on a second.
Far out, dude.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, gotta get those badges. We gotta get these cards.
So what have you been buying? Is there a particular game you've been buying cards for?
No. Like what I've been doing is I've been just looking at my badge progresses and stuff like that. And, like, because of all the games I've been playing, I get a card for every time I buy one. Plus, I bought my oldest stepson Saints Row 4 with all the DLC individually, so I got cards for all that sort of stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was like the best $70 I ever spent. I got really ticked off because I had bought the game full price with all the stuff because it was his birthday present, and then, like, the next day it was on sale for $20.
And of course it was.
I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I knew this would happen.
That's how these things happen.
That's right.
Never buy a game $60, bud.
Oh, that's, yeah, we had this conversation months ago, didn't we?
We have this conversation every time.
Yeah. It's
no, more like people just make fun of me for a second, and then once like this, I go, okay, you see I'm right, right? You know I'm correct in this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't buy games for $60. This is why.
But that was a birthday present. It had to be done then.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
There's no waiting.
Yeah, and that's the one.
It's not like, oh, well, buddy, you'll get your present tomorrow.
Yeah.
On your not birthday. Oh, thanks!
I mean,
next time, here's $20. Buy yourself a game when it goes on sale.
Well, he bought me actually a $50 MasterCard, like prepaid credit card there, and he printed out a picture of the Steam logo and just taped it onto it and said, "Here's the Steam card you've been wanting."
I saw that. That was really funny.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty. Oh, by the way, I also want to point out that along with crafting a badge, I got the background. I got a coat of arms. Apparently, it's an item for the game Stronghold Kingdoms, which I'm never gonna play ever. And I got an emoticon.
Woo!
Yeah, totally.
Tubular, awesome. Bro.
Yeah,
totally worth it. Totally.
It's nefarious what they've done, but it is kind of cool to see how all that thing works. And
it's kind of brilliant.
It is pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, I've recently been, you know, kind of getting into the studying of economics and stuff like that, and just seeing prices raise and dip based on market demand for these digital trading cards, which have no value, is super fascinating.
They're making a lot of money off of these things. It's kind of cray.
From a psychological standpoint, it's fascinating, kind of like what drives people.
Anyway, because of those Steam trading cards, I was about 30 cents away from having the swapper basically free. Like, I basically was going to be able to buy the swapper because I played video games and had sold all those cards probably to you, Kenny.
Mm.
There's a good chance I sold at least one of them to you if you've been buying cards across just everything. Because I just sell them, and I really think that that's a great thing that they allow you to do. Like, you want to buy them, you think that these things have some sort of value. You obviously know they don't.
Yeah.
But they do.
To you, they have. Yeah, they have 19 cents versus 21 cents worth of value.
Oh, 21 cents is too much. Screw that.
But putting these things up and then just seeing them, like, immediately get sold and seeing my wallet. Okay, awesome. I got another 19 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Good for me.
Well, I mean, you know, you sell five or six cards at, say, 20 cents a pop, and then a game comes on sale for $2.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. That's what I did. But I did that. I finished it up by playing Left 4 Dead 2.
Right.
Which was the freebie, free.
Right?
Is that not crazy?
Not entirely. I would think it would be a little weird if it was free and it was like a third party game. But
yeah.
Although I did seem to notice that other than the Left 4 Dead special, A lot of the Valve games not really dropping in price that much.
Mm-hmm. But do they have to at this point? Everybody pretty much has them.
Probably not.
Probably not?
No, I mean like they don't have to.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant probably not. Nobody has them. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody has.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At least a couple.
Yeah.
Half-Life 2. Whoever played that? That's garbage.
I'm
a podcast right now.
Please don't take that out of context. I really love that game.
Yeah, it is something else.
It's kind of a classic.
I would like Half-Life 3 to be released so everyone can just shut up.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay, you've heard it here, folks. Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, that's right. Done. Yep, totally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe called me up the other day. He's like, "Hey, Matt, I got a scoop, and you can only tell it on this podcast, but Half-Life 3 coming March 2015.
Sure.
Woo! Yes.
I'm pretty sure that this is the sixth episode of This Game is Broken, and Half-Life 2 released on the 6th, 2 divided by 3, Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, okay.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yep.
March is the third month of 2015. 2015 is divided by 3 is, it was years.
Is math.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, sure. Follow the money.
Yes. Exactly.
Chemtrails. So I've been playing a ton of Half-Life 2 to get Steam cards. And that game is, first off, it's just awesome. Like, I really enjoy Half-Life in general. But now I have a computer that can run it and can also mod the game. So I've been running around with Isaac Clarke and Julia Starlet from... What was that? No, Lollipop Chainsaw. Julia, the main character from that one. And also...
Oh, that game I hated.
You hated that game?
Oh, I couldn't stand it.
I haven't even played it, so...
Don't.
One day we'll have a conversation about it.
Oh, we will.
But my favorite is that I was able to turn Coach into Duke Nukem.
Nice.
And give him Duke Nukem... Someone modded the character and then modded Duke Nukem lines to be appropriate for each situation.
That's... I like that can exist.
Well, Duke Nukem lines are appropriate for every situation.
Well, yes, true. But, they've taken lines from nearly every game that he's been in and have, put it where it sounds like it should be. Like, you get shot and he says, "I ought to break a broom handle off," and I can't finish that because this is a clean podcast.
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
But it's really just, I haven't really modded stuff much in the past because I haven't had a computer that can do it. But I'm kind of enjoying this silliness and just taking a game that at this point didn't have much of a life for me other than it was just kind of fun, fun to play, and breathing a whole new world into it.
Right.
Like, here's Duke Nukem, and now all the zombies, instead of being zombies, they're aliens from Aliens. And instead of a katana, guess what? That's Link's sword now.
Oh, okay.
I'm fine with this.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty awesome, right? No, it's not a baseball bat. That's a chainsaw sword. So cool.
Well, the best mod of all time is the Kenny Loggins mod for Skyrim. That is.
I'm unfamiliar with this.
Oh, it turns every time you go into a battle, it turns the battle music into Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
Okay, now that sounds pretty awesome.
That is the greatest mod of all time.
I will rebut that with the Macho Man Randy Savage one, where it basically has Randy Macho Man Macho Man Randy Savage's head on the main dragon, and every time it breathes fire, he goes, "Oh yeah,
Bonesaw is ready."
I've got one for Skyrim, and I think we should wrap up after this, but it replaces the main bad dragon, Alduin, with a model of Thomas the Train. And instead of having his roar, he just goes, "Doo, doo," and
then shoots
fire at everyone.
That's great. I like that.
That is delightful.
Just look it up. It's so terrible and so great at the same time, because it's oh god, oh, he's killing everything, oh no,
he is terrifying looking.
Train.
so scary. So, anyway, we're going to hit time here, and so we should start wrapping up. And I want to thank you, Kenny, and I want to thank you, Matt, for participating and having a good time in this podcast. And hopefully we'll have another one up next week.
Where can everyone find us on Twitter?
Okay, I'm working on it. I'm getting there. I don't do this the same way as Barry. I was getting there. Okay. But if you'd like, you can give us a rating or review on iTunes. If you do that, I believe Matt will read it off online or on the air.
Yes, if you give us a 5-star review, I will read it here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a little shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any questions or comments or something, you can leave them at the Level Save Twitter or Facebook, which is just at Level Save or Level Save on Facebook. You can find all of us. You can find Kenny at Kenny Ryu, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter. That's R-I-O-U-X. And you can find Matt at The Real Matt C. Correct?
Except no substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Good. And you can find me at Snickle Socks. We've had a great time.
Like it sounds.
Yeah, exactly, right? Actually, it probably sounds terrible, doesn't it? How do you spell that?
Just the way it sounds.
Okay. It's a nickel with an S on it, and then socks like Red Sox, sports ball team.
That was exciting, exhilarating.
Yeah.
Thank you for
that. Wasn't it? That was a home run right there. See what I did? Wordplay, everyone.
I think we've done this podcast.
Adios.
Later, boys.
Oh, yeah! I'm